than this morning. What if our prayer became what the choir and Matthew sang? To be a history maker in this world by asking God to set our soul afire. Well, I believe he said that to those disciples. I believe on the Sermon on the Mount, on the mountainside, as Jesus gathered with those 12 men, and the crowd just gathered up too, but his teaching was to the 12. And we've been talking about what it meant, and in your Sunday school class in James chapter 1, you saw the term again this morning, doulos. To be a bondservant, to be a slave of Jesus Christ. To give ourselves completely, totally committed to him through the power of his Spirit as we walk and understand his word, and we live through his word daily. Matthew 5 verse 12 is in your bulletin. I hope you have your Bibles, and you'll turn to Matthew verse chapter 5, verse 12. And I want you to say that with me. It's in your bulletin. It says this. Say it with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, folks, in being a servant, we got to become a prayer. That's the first. Everything, the foundation, the bottom, it's got to be prayer. Then we've got to go out and season this world and be a salt shaker. And everything must we do, we must seek God as becoming and being a seeker. And then our lives must be built in discipleship, in a foundation of building. I call it becoming a foundation builder. 3 weeks ago, we saw how becoming a servant meant we got to be an eye doctor. We got to perform eye surgery. And I'm not talking about this eye. I'm talking about the big eye in ourselves. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about then, or last Sunday, what it means to be a blessing giver, to intentionally be a blessing to someone. And I trust that happened to you this week, because you have to work sometime at being a blessing. Oftentimes, we are the recipient of the blessing. But we must be intentional about being a blessing to someone. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. But this morning, he had just told them and talked to them and shared with them the very fact of who they are, the light of the world. And now he says this without question. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And there are four specific things in particular that is said right here. And I want to share these with you. They're in your outline. And as we look in the outline this morning, and as you join with me, and as I share with you what it means, I said four, I mean five. My brain quits sometime. But there are five specific things that Jesus tells his disciples to do in order to be a lighter. What if our prayer would be, Lord, set my soul afire, literally ablaze? What would happen to this world? What would happen to this world if evangelical churches began to pray that prayer like never before and to begin to pray Matthew 5, 16 for God to set us afire, to allow our light to shine? Well, God wants our light to shine. That is not a suggestion, but a direct command of God to let our light shine. The first thing that you've got to understand and we've got to understand if we're going to let our light shine and become a lighter is you got to and you must what? Know the light. And I put light in full caps because I'm talking about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't be a light shiner. You can't shine like the light that it's talking about here unless you know Jesus Christ. You've got to realize what it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that word all means every one of us throughout the world who has lived, will live, or will ever live. We are born into sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we walk down that Roman way, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God has demonstrated that love he has for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took every sin you would ever commit and took that sin to a cross. And he died for you. Every drop of blood that came out of his body was shed for our sin, so that our sin would be covered with the blood of Christ. The Bible calls it to be atoned for, to clean up, to forgive our sin. And that's why we are covered in his blood from the top of our head to the bottoms of our feet. Completely, totally. The Bible says you are sealed until the day of redemption. God has protected you. God has sealed you. And he died for you once and for all for every sin you'd ever commit. Now, folks, that blows me away. To realize that God died for me, for you, and all who have lived, will live, or are living today for their very sin. God demonstrated that agape, that perfect love for you and me, in that while we were sinners, Christ died. And literally in the Greek, it's in the aorist tense, it means once and for all. Jesus does not have to die again for your sin. There is not going to be another Messiah. Jesus is the only Christ. Jesus told Thomas, he said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but by me. There is no way on this earth you will find heaven other than through Jesus Christ. And yet our world is teaching there are plenty of other ways to heaven. Jesus is just called Allah. Jesus is just called Buddha. Jesus is not my book. Not the Bible I worship and the Bible I believe. Jesus says, I am the way. He wasn't talking about he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will ever come to the Father but by me. Do you know the light? And I'm so glad he put Romans 10:13 in there, Paul did. Because when he did, he said this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I got a sermon called Whosoever. It means all of us, folks. So many trust and experience. A shaking of a hand or a walking down an aisle. They don't trust the Savior. They don't trust the fact that they have intentionally asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. And folks, before you can ever be a lighter, you got to know the light. You got to be confident that you know the light. It terrifies me. Have you come to the place in your life that you know for certain that you have eternal life and that if you died, would you be in heaven with Jesus? And you know the number one response to that. I hope so. I hope so. I hope you're not hoping. I hope you know. I do. If I don't make it out of this sermon, it's okay. I'm with Jesus. Why? Because as a 9-year-old boy and a mother and dad led me to saving faith in Jesus Christ, I came and made that public profession of faith when I said, Lord, I am a sinner. I am covered with sin. I need your forgiveness and your love as the God of this universe. And I call upon you and I ask you to forgive me based on your shed blood on the cross for me. And I repent, Lord Jesus. I turn and make an about face and I trust you completely for my salvation. It's not a thing I can do. I can't read my Bible enough. I can't go to church enough. So many people are living out this way. I'm just a good old boy. I take care of my mother. I take care of my dad. I take care of my wife and children. I go to work. I'm a good old boy. If you believe that's going to get you to heaven, then Satan has sold you the biggest lie from the pit of hell. The only way you'll ever know Jesus is through a personal, intentional invitation of him into your life. And if you and I have not done that, you are as lost can be. I don't care if you've been a member of this church 99 years. If you don't know the light, you cannot be a lighter. Don't walk out of here today and say, I hope I'm saved. You walk out of this building today through the power of Jesus Christ saying, bless God, I know I'm saved. You got to know him. There's a second thing the Bible says, and that's what he said to these men. The second thing is simply this. You must let the light shine. Now, folks, when I study Scripture, I break the words down. You see, I'm one that believes that every word is inspired of God, and every word means something specifically for us. So what is God trying to teach me in Matthew 5:16? Why did he use the word, let your light so shine? In verse 14, he says, we're the light of the world. Or literally, thus let your light shine is what it says in verse 16. Let means that you're going to allow it to happen. You're going to take action to make sure that it does. Shining your light doesn't come by osmosis. I have a little laser pointer right here. It works. I checked it just a little while ago. But I'm telling you, I could point this thing all over this building. Do you see the red light? You can answer, no. No red light. Why? Well, the preacher's lost his mind. He doesn't realize he can press a button. And then I press a button, and bingo, look what I got. A laser light. Folks, I could hold this thing all day long, but until I press the button, there ain't no light. You can say you know Jesus all day long, but until you intentionally go out and shine the light, he's just in your pocket. And I believe there's so many folks carrying Jesus around in their pocket, but they never get him out and let him shine. That's why we need to pray, Lord, set my fire, light up, but my soul on fire. Set me ablaze for me. The greatest compliment that anyone can ever give you or me when we leave them is that they were in the presence of Jesus. That Jesus was here. How many people, when you've left their conversation and what you said come out of your mouth, can people say, wow, that person reflects Jesus? You've got to let it shine. It has got to be intentional. It is a light. And when you shine, that word is very interesting there. We sing that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You remember that? You'd start singing. Now you will all day because I sang it to you. The word shine means to illuminate with brilliance. It means to shine that it's overwhelming. How many times do we walk in a room? Do we walk in a place? Do we pull up a traffic light? Do we talk to the cashier at the drugstore or the grocery store or whatever? And they know by our countenance, by who we are, that something's different in this old boy's life. Let your light shine. Folks, that's up to us. And notice it's in the imperative sense here. It's something we must do. It's not a suggestion for a believer. So don't carry them around in your pocket. You have the ability and your power to let that light shine as a believer because you know the light. Now turn it on to the world. Turn it on to the world like never, ever before. What if our prayer... What if individually and together as a body, we prayed, God, set our souls afire? Then you better strap in, me and you both, because God is going to set us on fire, folks. And for all of us in this house being set on fire, it may not be the easiest thing in the world we've ever done. Because when God sets you on fire, he makes some serious changes going on inside. And we have to be ready to accept and do those changes and move forward with what God wants to do without question. So you must let your light shine. It's a command. The story is told of a little boy of 5 years old who was playing in the yard after dark, and he came home and running and yelling to his parents. And he said, look, Daddy, look, Mommy, I'm carrying the light. He says, we were taught at church that's what missionaries are supposed to do. You know, like the song says, carry the light. And in those little tiny hands of that little boy, he unfolded them to reveal a carefully captured lightning bug. We call them, some people call them fireflies. And it was just beaming in the light in his hand. And his dad said, you know, I convinced him, my son, to release that light rather than hold on to it so that everybody may enjoy it. And the little guy did so reluctantly as he watched that firefly just leave his hand. And he was thrilled. The little boy was thrilled to discover that even after the release of that light, in his little fingers, they still beamed the light with that iridescent stuff that comes off the lightning bug. And some of that yellow beam had actually rubbed off on his hand. And the little guy was just so excited to his mom and dad. And he said, look, Dad, when you carry the light, some of it rubs off on the people. And I thought to myself, man, when we carry the light of Jesus, it rubs off on us. It's within us. It's the power within us. But we've got to take the light. We've got to carry the light. I started to bring a candle this morning and set it right here and turn it on. Because it's that light. You see our Advent wreath at Christmas with the four lights, then the Christ candle. How it illuminates this building on Christmas Eve when we light all those candles together. Showing us what it means to do. Folks, that's what the Bible teaches us in Matthew. We've got to let our light shine before men. But there's a fourth thing you and I must do. There's a fourth thing. You must let your light shine. What word goes in that line? Before. You're exactly right. Before men. Now, preacher, aren't you getting a bit kind of touchy when it comes to looking at these words? You're taking every little bitty word. But, folks, you must let your light shine before men. What it means in front of, before you ever get to them. In other words, before you ever show up, before you ever get out of your house, let your light shine. Our prayer every morning should be this: let your light shine before men, without question. Let our light shine before we ever get in front of men, so that that light can illuminate this world, can be a brilliance to what we do. Our prayer when we get up in this morning, in the morning, ought to be our prayer as we leave here today. Lord, let my light shine for someone, and it may be going home today. It may be this afternoon. It may be a phone call you're going to receive or a phone call you're going to give. It may be where you're going to be throughout the day. Whatever it may be, allow your light to shine literally before men, in front of them, in their face. We've got to be a lighter. And God set our soul on fire. Set our soul on fire. We are living, I believe, in the last days on this earth. And those last days may last 100 years or 1,000 years. I don't know. But God has privileged us to see that and to live in these days. Perilous times will come in those last days. Look at the newspaper. Watch the news. You and I both will see. We are in perilous times. There is no question. We're right in the middle of them. People are dying across this globe because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Oppression and persecution is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And even in our nation today, a bill before our Senate and House called the Hate Crimes Bill would make it a federal offense. If I preach against homosexuality that the Bible preaches about, and your pastor could be arrested and in prison because he's preaching the gospel. That's happening today, right now, this minute. And the vote could happen this week. We've got to let our light shine. We've got to stand up like never before and take a stand for Jesus Christ. And folks, that's not going to be popular. We're going to stick out like sore thumbs. But isn't that what the Bible said? Don't be conformed, Paul said, to this world. But what did he say? Don't be conformed, but what? Transform. By the renewing of your mind through the power of God, literally, that you may prove what is good and bright and acceptable and powerful will of God. Do, without question, let your light shine before men, without question. So the verse says this: let your light shine before men. And then there's a fourth thing here. You must do. D-O, good works. When the believer stands at the judgment seat of Christ, it's called the Bema judgment after his death. You and I will give an account of what? What we did for Jesus. Your sin has already been judged. Do you understand that? When God died for your sin, remember what I said at the beginning of, He died once and for all of your sin. When you ask the Lord Jesus, you know the light, you ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, you repent and turn and trust Him completely for your salvation. It is at that point He wipes out every sin you've ever committed and He cleans you up. And now here is our command. You let that light that's within you illuminate before men that they can see what? Your good works. Do means exactly what it says. take action. There are a lot of retired Christians. There are a lot of retired Christians. I've done my work. I've paid my dues. I'll let the young folks do it. Satan has just sold you a number one lie that he has. He loves doing that, folks. He's got more Christians sitting on the pew today because of that one lie than he does anything. Because he thinks we've paid the dues. There's nowhere in the Bible that says we must sit. I'm not talking about physically. There are many who can't physically. We can't. I can't do what I used to do, that's for sure. But I want to tell you something, folks. The minute we ever retire from doing good works, we got a problem. I mean, a big spiritual problem. And I'm talking to you not by what Randy Cheek says. This is the book. This is Word of God. You got a problem with this, go to the Bible, not to me. Then it says that they may see your good works. How in the world is people going to see them unless we do them? People somehow think that people are going to come to Christ by osmosis. No. We've got to intentionally do something. We've got to intentionally be different wherever we go. We've got to do good works. You can't be a true doulos and not serve God by not serving man. You can't be a true doulos without serving the God of this universe like never before. But then the Word talks about good works. And the Bible differentiates the understanding of good. That word Greek, good in the Greek, is a little word called kalos. We would write it K-A-L-O-S. And it means that which is right, that which is good, that which is perfect. In other words, we do God's works. We do the will of God. What did our Lord ask us to pray as our number one prayer? His will be done. Lord, whatever you want, I want. We do good works. We do His works. How much good works have we done this week individually? I can't answer that for you. I can only answer it for me. How have we tried intentionally to do those good works like never before? And works means exactly what it says. That work there, that language means work, physical labor, hard toil. So if we're going to let people see the good works, we're going to have to do the good works. And God can't set us afire if we've retired. Here's a final thing this morning. It's the last part of that verse. To see your good works and glorify the Father, your Father, which is in heaven. What must you do? Point people to the Father in heaven. Point people to Jesus. And once again, folks, that means to be intentional. We are not to do our good works. Look what I've done. I went to Osborne High School. I graduated from Mercy University. I went to Southern Seminary. I went back to Southern Seminary and got a doctor's degree. I went. God, no. Folks, don't do your good works that other people can see you. Do what you do for Christ's sake on this earth for one reason, so that people will see Jesus. That's my prayer in my life. That some way, somehow, in this old sinful human body, as frail as our human bodies can be, that the one thing people can see in Randy is not Randy Cheek, but Jesus. Just Jesus. My task, your task, our task in the same boat here, one beggar telling the beggar, another beggar where to find bread, is to go out and tell people and point people to Jesus by how we act and what we do. And then it says you glorify. I love that word glorify. It means to do exactly what it says. It's the word doxa in the Greek. It means the Shekinah glory of God. It means to return all the power and praise to God. One of the things that scares me, in a good way perhaps, people will come and they'll say, Randy, that sermon ministered to me. That touched me. I don't see how in the world you do it. And I look to them and I say this, folks, with every bit of humility. I don't see how in the world it happens anyway. I go back and listen to some of these messages and say, like Steve Urkel used to say, did I do that? You know, did I really say that? God is in control. It is not me. My prayer, our prayer, is that you don't see a pulpit crowded with folks up here leading worship. You simply see Jesus. You got to know the light, do you? Please be sure, folks. Please be sure. We're not guaranteed that we're going to live today. You hear stories about that all the time. I don't say that to scare you or frighten you. Folks, this ain't my home, to use bad English. My home's with Jesus in heaven. I'm just passing through, as the song says. But I know Jesus. I don't just hope I do. I know him. Then we got to let our light shine. Something I've got to do. Do you need to recommit yourself to that this morning? Of letting that light shine wherever you go? Maybe you say, Randy, I hadn't done anything to let it shine. Not like I should. But today's changes. Set my soul afire, Lord. That's my prayer. And then I got to let that light shine before men, in front of men. People say, well, I'll become a Christian. I'll do this when God cleans up everything. Ladies and gentlemen, a cleanup process in your life is lifelong, you know? God cleans you up how? From the inside out. When you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, he comes into your life and you become, literally the Bible says, a new creation in Christ. Paul took it further. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I live, but Christ who lives in me. He makes those changes. He moves you into a different realm completely because now your focus is off the world and what the world has. Your focus is on Jesus. Let him change you. You're never going to be good enough to be saved. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. If you're waiting for yourself ever to be good in order for you to know the light, you'll never know the light on this earth. And in order to do that, you got to let your light shine before men. And we must do good works. That's a command of God. And then those good works, what do? They point people to our Father in heaven. One night, the innkeeper of the lighthouse was taken ill and was unable to attend to the light. And the machinery became so disordered and the light failed to revolve, literally. A storm swept to the dangerous coast and the light keeper's boy, a mere young boy, climbed up to the lamp and during all the long hours of the stormy night, he turned that lamp, that lantern with his own hands, until it could be completely repaired the next day. In the morning, after all this, where the boy had set up and literally turned the lantern around manually all night long, it was learned that two vessels with 700 people on board was able to make it through the harbor that night by the aid of that revolving light that was kept in motion by that young, tired and very vigilant boy. And unconsciously, that fateful boy had been the means of saving hundreds of lives because he kept his light where the ships could see it. Folks, can people see the light in you? Are you letting your light shine? I know it's tiring. I know it's perilous times. I know it's difficult times. And it's intentional to make ourselves let our light shine. That's our prayer this morning. The scripture, very strong and very powerful. Literally, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We began this service with prayer. We're going to end it with prayer. But it's a response time. We have sung, Set My Soul Afire. We have sung that we are going to be a history maker. Now we got to make a decision, folks. How is the way we got in here today, our leaving, going to be different? How are we going to be different when we clear those doors and we walk out on the mission field? What's going to be changed in your life and my life together as we go out of here to be the doulos God has called us to be by being His servant? It's up to us. I can't make your decision. I only can make that for you. But my prayer this morning is that we will pray, "Oh, Father, set my soul afire. I want to be an igniter. I want to be a lighter for God's kingdom on this earth." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your words to those disciples, those 12 men that stood and walked and with you. And I thank you, Father, without question, that you told them, we are to let our light shine before men, that people will see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. May our lives do these five things we've pointed to and said this morning. But Lord, we realize that's up to us. You've given us the privilege to make that change in our life. Now we've got to say we're going to do it. And I pray that this morning be the day of recommitment, the day of salvation, the day, Lord, of joining Olive Springs, the day of answered prayer, the day of becoming a lighter. May it be so, Father. May it be so. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Karen's going to lead us in 571. A little song says, "Let others see Jesus in you." We're going to sing all these stanzas together, because as you stand quietly to your feet right now with me, would you do that? This becomes our altar. This becomes an altar of prayer. Don't wait. From where you're seated to this prayer place, this altar, make that commitment. I'm going to be a lighter. I'm going to intentionally light other people's lives like never before. And the gates of hell are not going to stop me. They're not going to make me put my bushel and my light out by covering it up. I'm going to let the world see Jesus. Amen? Let others see Jesus in you. Let's sing, Karen, right now.